It's my prayer that the words of God would impact our hearts as we've gathered here today. I have to be honest up front. I know I've said this before here, but hands down, this is the hardest message I've ever preached. It was the hardest for me to study. It was the hardest for me to put together. It's the hardest for me to talk about this morning, because as I was studying, I have to be honest with you, I was questioning my own Christianity. It shook me to the core of who I thought I was and what I thought I believed. In the last number of days, I was saying, God, am I even a Christian? Is my Christianity, is my faith real? The last time I preached, I talked about the fact that all of life, all that we go through in life, every moment of every day is determining which side we're going to be on, either God's side or Satan's side. And I talked about the fact that we can't be on both. And at the end, I asked you to come forward sort of using this carpet as a line, saying if you're willing to step across the line and to be on God's side, and invited you to do that. And if you're like my end, I am, that's the easy thing to do. Because I can wholeheartedly say, yeah, that's the side I want to be on. There's no question in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no wavering there at all inside of me. I can say, yeah, I've clearly made that choice. I want to be on this side. But then comes the hard part. Then comes the difficult part. It's easier for us on a Sunday morning to say, yeah, that's where I want to be. I want to get up. I want to cross that line. I want to be there. That's where I want to stand. But then we have to live our lives after that. And this morning, I realize as I'm standing here that God requires something of us. And that's the difficult part. If we say we're going to cross that line, if we say we're going to stand on the other side, then God requires something of us. And that's the part that rocked me the last number of days and shook my faith, in all honesty. Because God requires an incredible amount, and it goes against what society today says about Christianity. Society today says if we say we've crossed that line and we've made a commitment, then we're okay from there on out. And Jesus' words come back and say, no, that's not true. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about the fact that we're called to be a disciple and what discipleship actually means to us today. What does it mean to be a disciple? What is a disciple? There are two definitions of a disciple. Webster says it's one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Christ's following. So one definition of a disciple is just one who accepts and helps spread the teachings of another person. But as we look throughout Scripture, there's another definition of discipleship that goes way deeper than that. And that's what we call being an imitator of the person that we are saying we're following. It goes much deeper than just accepting their teaching and say, oh yeah, I can get a hold of this teaching and I can spread it. It's almost like we become little Christ. We become imitators of the person that we say that we're following. We adhere to their teaching and we follow it, and we become like that person. A disciple is an imitator of the teacher. That's what we find out throughout Scripture. Paul says this, follow me as I follow Christ. Become an imitator of me as I imitate the life of Jesus Christ in my life. You follow me and follow my patterns and walk after me in the same way that I'm imitating Christ. I want you to imitate me. You follow me. Live your life. look at my life and live your life because I'm imitating Christ. And so as you imitate me, you will imitate Christ as well. That's the picture that we get in the gospel of what it means to actually be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We mimic Christ. In Acts, the leaders, the Sanhedrin and the leaders of the people took note that the disciples had been with Jesus. The disciples just weren't going around and spreading some of the teaching of Jesus, but they acted so much like Jesus that the leaders took note of it. And they said, these guys have been hanging out with Jesus. They've become like him. We're seeing the same thing in their lives that we saw in Jesus' life. Their exact representation of Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. It's a person that abides in Jesus' words as a disciple. John 8:31, and I'm going to read some of these scriptures. And by the way, I only picked out some. There's lots of scriptures I could go to as I preach this message, and I kept dumping scriptures because I realized if I didn't, we would be here till in the afternoon sometime. But so I'm picking out a few. But in John 8:31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews that believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And the Greek for abide means to remain, to abide, to sojourn, to tarry, and to not depart. Jesus is saying, I want you to abide. A disciple of mine is going to be one that abides in the word. And I was thinking about that. And so often we say that that's obedience, we interpret it that, but actually it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means more that we're going to spend time in the Word. We're going to know the Word. We're going to understand the Word. We're going to tarry in the Word, in Jesus' words. That's where we're going to be. And I had to think about this. I heard a pastor say a number of weeks ago that in today's society, an hour a day is no longer enough. If you're going to be a real Christian in the world today, an hour a day with God, well, 15 minutes a day definitely isn't going to happen. And he said, actually, an hour today in today's society isn't even enough for you to make it spiritually in today's culture. He said, we should be spending at least 2 hours a day in the Word. And I heard that and I was like, well, I guess whatever. But you know, the question is, are we abiding in the Word? Is that where our heart is? Is that where our love is? Or do we get up, do our 10-minute devotional thing, and go on about our day? Or are we abiding in the Word? Are we spending time so that we know? A true disciple will do that. Jesus said that. It will abide in the Word. And as a result of that, then comes obedience. And we know the verses in James where he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And he's saying, we can't just hear the Word. We have to be obedient to the Word and what the Word is saying to us. So it's a person that abides. A disciple is a person who abides in Jesus' words. It's also, a disciple also is a person who loves the people of God. John 13:34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And he's saying, people will recognize that you're a disciple of mine, you're a follower of mine, and that you've bought into what I'm about in this world as you love other people, the people of God. A disciple is also one who bears fruit. John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The question is, have we been bearing fruit in our lives? Do our lives show the fact that we've been with Jesus and there's fruit that's happening there? A disciple is also one who makes other disciples, and we know the scripture in Matthew 28 where he commands us. He says, I want you to go and make other disciples. We can't make other disciples if we're not one ourselves. That's just a given. Jesus is assuming that we're a disciple. We can't make disciples until we are a true disciple ourselves. And I think that's where, as I look at the church in America today, I think we've lost that. We're not calling people. We've called people to step across the line. We haven't called people to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. And a disciple is a person. Who is sold out for God, who is willing, and I want to go into that a little more as well, but a person that is sold out for Jesus Christ is an imitator of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to be taking the majority of my text from here, but a lot of it will be other verses as well. There's some verses in here that, honestly, I don't know what to do with totally as I'm talking this morning. I'll just have to tell you what the Bible says because it shakes me when I read these kind of verses. But I've talked about what is a disciple. I want to talk now about preparation for discipleship. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says this: "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost?" And let me say this. He's saying this in reference to the fact that a large group of people were following him. It says a great multitude was following him, and he turned and said to them, and he comes back, and this is what he's saying to them, and I skip some of the first verses. I want to come to that back to them later on. But then he says in 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost?" What's the cost going to be for me to build this tower? What's it going to cost me? Do I have the funds available? Whether he has enough to finish it. "Lest after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace." And what Jesus is saying in those verses is, if you're going to follow me, what he's saying to the multitude, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. And you need to sit down, first of all, and decide if you have what it takes. If you're willing, if you have what it takes to jump into this relationship with God and to follow it through. Otherwise, you will be made fun of. And people will say, "Look at him. He started on this journey. He wasn't able to finish it." And he will be mocked. And I tell you what, as I look at our churches today, that's what I see over and over again. People piling out of Christianity. In fact, if the trends continue, our children, who claim to be Christians at this point, will no longer be Christian people in the next number of years if our trends continue in America today, because they've started the journey, but people are not willing to continue the journey. And Jesus said, if you're going to be a disciple of me, there's preparation that needs to be take place. And the first thing that needs to take place is you need to count the cost if you're willing to follow through with this, because it is going to cost you, and it's going to cost you greatly. And Jesus didn't mince any words, and this is why it was so difficult for me, because Jesus minced no words, and he didn't care about the amount of people that were following. In fact, he was so hard on the people that it said great multitudes that claimed to be his disciples left him and followed him no more. Because Jesus said it's going to cost you something, it's going to require something of you, and it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult. Jesus didn't make it easy for anyone coming in the kingdom. And in these verses he's saying, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, there's one thing you have to do in preparation for that. You have to count the cost. Are you willing to pay the price? Do you have what it takes to pay the price to follow me? It's not a simple thing. It's not just as simple as coming up and crossing the line like happened, although that's important. That's incredibly important. But Jesus says you have to count the cost, because it's going to require something of you. And what does it require of us as people? The cost of discipleship. First of all, Jesus must come first, and that's before self. And Jesus in Matthew 16 says, if anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, there's one thing that has to go in your life, and that's self. The things that you want to do, the things that you think are important, the things that you want to hang on to in your life, he says, you have to let them all go. If you can't let them go, you are not my disciple. You have to let go of self. That's pretty difficult. I was sitting there thinking of all the things that I think are important in life. Am I willing to let them go? I tell you what, that's pretty hard. When it comes right down to it, that is really, really hard. That's an incredible cost. An incredible cost that we have to be willing to give up if we're going to claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Everything that I think is important in life, everything that I value in life, everything that I want to do in life, I have to be able to let go. And we can sit here and say, oh yeah, well, I think I can do that. But then he gets a little more personal. Jesus actually says before family. I'm going to come before your family. And he puts some incredibly hard words actually in these verses. Verse 26 and 27, in the verses that I skipped earlier, he turns to this multitude and said, let me tell you something. If anyone wants to come after me and does not hate his father and mother, that's pretty strong language. That's really strong language. And we could say, if you're like I am over the years, you can say, well, God would never ask us to hate anyone. And that goes against what he's about as a person. But hate is literally means that, to pursue with hatred. That's what that word means. To detest, to be hated and detested. Jesus says, and I think what he's saying, because we have to balance all of Scripture, we can't just camp out on one verse, but what he's saying is, if your family gets in the way of what I want you to do as a person, you need to treat them like you hate them. Now that cuts to the core of all that we believe about strong families and those kind of things. But Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, if your family, whether it's your father, mother, he continues on in those verses, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty staggering language. My mind went wild when I was reading those verses, because I've thought of my own counsel. Quite a few years ago, a guy came to me and said, I don't know what to do because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is calling me to something. I believe beyond a shadow of doubt. He has made it so clear. It has been consistent for so many years. But he said, I don't know what to do because my family won't have anything to do with it. What would we normally say in a situation like that? Now I don't know what to say. I'll tell you what I told him. I said, well, if God made it clear to you, he will make it clear to your wife. That hasn't happened to this day yet. It's a person that's not from this congregation. He still hasn't followed God's call on his life. What do we do with that? That hits really close home. It goes against what I've believed and what I've taught. But Jesus said, if your wife or father or mother or son or daughter gets in the way of following me and my call on your life, you have to follow me before you follow them. Now, I know on the flip side of that, I'm very much aware. I had a person a number of years ago that came to me that actually left his wife on this ground so he could go out and do whatever he wanted. That's a completely different story. He wasn't following God, but those are the verses that he used so that he could ditch his family and live a life however he wanted to live it. That's the flip side of it. But what do we do with verses like that? Jesus made it very clear. Actually, in Matthew 10, 34, he says a similar thing. He says, Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And what he's saying is, as I call people in life, people in your families, as I call you, people in your own family are not going to understand my call on your life. And they're not going to understand that, and they're going to work against you because they're going to say you're crazy. I'm putting that in today's language. You're going to say there's something wrong with you that you would follow God in that way. And yet he says, that's what I'm here for. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Incredible verses. But what Jesus is saying in those verses, you have to be willing to go against family if you're going to be my disciple. That's really hard for us in our family-oriented culture. And I'm not knocking our family-oriented culture. In fact, that's a good thing. I'm not knocking it in any way. The thing that I'm coming back to is this. Jesus says it's going to cost us something. He says it's going to cost us an incredible amount. Are we willing to give up and to put Jesus ahead of anything else? The third thing he talks a lot about that it's going to cost us is money, finances, and wealth. And James talked a lot about that last Sunday, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time because he covered it last week, but there's only one other subject in the Bible that's talked more about than money, and that's love. And so it's a huge issue. And in Mark 10, 17, this is another passage that I don't know what to do with sometimes. Mark 10, 17, it says, "Now as he was going out the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth.'" He's a good Christian guy. We would say, hold that. He kept all the commandments. From his youth. Incredible, strong Christian. And Jesus looked at him. And I like this verse. It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved the guy. He said, what an incredible guy. But then he said this to him: "One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross, and follow me." I don't know what I would do with that. I'll say this, the hardest thing I've ever done in my life involves finances, and that's to leave my job and go work for Life Ministries. That's, I don't know how many years ago, but I still go crazy about that sometimes. I'm just being honest here this morning. I left a very good paying job to go work at Life Ministries. Sometimes it drives me nuts. What would I do if Jesus said, okay, beyond that now, I want you to go sell everything that you do have and give it to the poor? What if Jesus would walk in here today and say it to you? What would you do with that? And here again, I know where my mind goes. Oh, he would never do it. What about good stewardship? He's blessed us with all these things. We can bless other missionaries, and our mind goes crazy on those kind of things. The question is this. If Jesus walked in here and said, I want you to go sell everything that you own, and give it to the poor people in the city, what would you do with that? What would I do with that? But what about my plans? What about my goals for the future? What about the security of retirement? What about health insurance? We go on and on and on. My mind does anyway. I go crazy with this stuff sometimes. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. But would I be willing to say, you want me to sell everything I have? Sure, here it is. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. I'll do whatever, believing that you'll take care of me. And that's a key. I don't know what I would do if I'd have been that guy. I'll tell you what this guy did. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He turned around and walked away and said, the cost of being your disciple is too great. I cannot pay the price. See ya. That's what he said. How many of us say the same thing? How many of us say the exact same thing? I would never sell everything I have. There's no way. God's blessed me with so much. He's given me so much. I don't have much to start with. What would happen if I would sell that? We can go on and on. But Jesus says, unless you're willing to do this, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple. Those are the words that Jesus uses over and over and over in the scripture. If you're not willing to do this, you can't be my disciple. Those are hard words. Those are incredibly hard words. And that's why I was sitting there saying, Lord, am I your disciple? Because I tell you what, this stuff's hard. This is not easy, cross the line and then I'm good for the rest of my life type of stuff. This is hard stuff. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the core of Christianity and what it means to be a disciple. And I'm sitting there the last 2 days saying, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. If you ask me to do this, I don't know if I could. If you walked in the room, and yet he is asking that of us. The willingness to give up all. The willingness to count the cost. The willingness to pay the price of what it's going to mean. So the cost, one other verse, Matthew 6:24. I used it in my last message. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He's saying you can't be a slave and your focus be on money in your life. You can't and say that you serve God. That's Jesus talking. It's not me. When your focus is money and that's your life and that's what you're after, he says you can't do it. You can't serve God and money at the same time. So first of all, we must be willing. The cost is that we need to be willing to allow Jesus to be first above these things in our lives. Second, we need to be willing to suffer. In verse 27, and I lost my place here, in the verses in Luke chapter 14, he says this, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And in the other verses I read, a phrase that we heard over and over again, take up your cross, excuse me, and come follow me. And what he's meaning by that, we know that the cross was the Roman form of execution, and the Romans made their prisoners carry their own cross, and it was supposedly a way that they acknowledged their wrongdoing and that they had to pay the penalty for their wrongdoing. It was their way of acknowledging that they were guilty and that they had committed whatever they had committed and that they were willingly going to pay the price for this. I don't know how you can force someone to carry their cross and it mean all those things, but supposedly that's what it meant. And that's what Jesus actually was referring here to. He says, I want you to willingly acknowledge me, admit that you're guilty of following me, and then be willing to take whatever it's going to cost you. Be willing to suffer. And there's many scriptures that I could go to beyond that, where he talks about the fact that if you're going to be my disciple, you have to be willing to suffer for my sake. You have to be willing to take whatever it's going to cost you. You have to be able to pay the price to follow me, no matter if it means suffering. Third of all, we must forsake all. I talked about family, I talked about all these things, but Jesus then in the very end of these verses in verse 33 says, so likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Pretty staggering words. Whoever does not forsake, is not willing to, I think would be a good translation, willing to forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple. That's an incredible cost. Incredible cost. I don't know about you, but as I was studying, I was thinking of all the things I've whined and complained about, of the cost that I felt like Christianity has cost me, that being a pastor has cost me, and the list goes on and on. And I've spent hours and days and weeks complaining about that. If I do that, can I be his disciple? I need to be willing to forsake all and say, Lord, if you're calling me to this, whatever it takes, I will do. Whatever the sacrifice, whatever the cost. And I don't think in that it means that we need to bury our head in the sand about life either. I don't think he's referring to that. But I thought of all the things in my life that I've said, God, I don't know that I can do this. I can't be a pastor anymore. It requires too much of me. It requires too much of my time. It requires too much of my energy. It requires too much sacrifice. I can't do this anymore. I've been there many times, I have to be honest with you, over the years. I said, I can't do this anymore. There's no way I can. The cost is too great. And yet Jesus is saying, unless you're willing to give it up, all of it, and pay the ultimate cost, you can't be my disciple. So where does that let me? I don't know. I'm being pretty vulnerable here this morning. I know where my heart is. I don't know that I can say I'm an actual disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be. But the battle's real in every one of our hearts, in every one of our lives. Jesus says, unless you're willing to forsake everything in life, you cannot be my disciple. Those are strong words. I've thought of all the things that I'd say, I can't give this up, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. Yeah, well, if I can't do that, I can't be his disciple either. Incredible words. I can't do this because of. And then Jesus comes back and says, well, then you can't be my disciple. Bill Bright has said this. There's two reasons people struggle with assurance of salvation. One is they've never really become a Christian. Second is there's something in their life that they haven't been willing to give up for God. As a result of that, this is not Bill Bright's words, these are my words as I've been studying. As a result of that, we become weak, frail Christians, in quote, who bear no fruit. And Jesus says, as a result of that, I'm going to prune you from the tree. But unless we're willing to give up everything in our lives and surrender, Jesus comes back and says, you cannot be my disciple. What about us here this morning? I don't know what to do with this. I have to be honest. I know where my heart is, but I tell you what, I've had two really, really hard days.
as I've thought through some of this stuff. It's one thing to say I'm a Christian. It's a completely different thing to say I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to follow him no matter what. No matter what the cost is in life. If it costs me my job, all the wealth that I would like to have and hope to have, and am I there? Are you guys there? Jesus comes back. I tell you, these words shake what I have believed about Christianity, that if I cross the line, I'm in and I'm okay. Jesus says, it's going to cost you something. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to give up everything? Don't start. Jesus is coming back in these verses and saying, don't start unless you're willing to go all the way. Don't even make the first step. Sit down and count the cost, first of all, if you're willing. Let's pray. Lord, these are hard words from your word. And yet, Lord, you've called us to be your disciples. That means we're to give up all, everything. You've asked us to count the cost. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst here. Lord, it's hard for us to hear these words, and yet they're your words. It's what you're calling us to. Speak to our hearts today, Lord.